May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you. from the Word of God, we will read two portions of Scripture. Firstly, the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. The book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. No one born in mine house is not mine heir, is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenazites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Turn now to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6. the sixth chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men please us, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always of all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word and help us in prayer. Most holy and almighty Lord God, give to us now that solemn sense of whose presence we are now in. The holy, almighty, infinitely great God and Judge. That one who formed us in the womb, and who has watched us every step of life's journey, never taken his eye off us, known everything about us, before whom we must one day stand in that tremendous day of judgment. Lord, give to us large views of thee. And may the eye of faith enable us to worship with reverence, with that due respect to thy great and holy majesty, with godly fear, with a holy awe. Help us to bring the honour, the glory, the dignity, the majesty, the power that is due to thy holy name. To fall prostrate at thy feet, and to crown thee Lord of all. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies that bring us again into this house of prayer. Mercies which we cannot begin to number. And for which we do not deserve. But Lord, grant to us this day that thankful heart. And may we worship in thanksgiving for all thy kindness unto us each, thy providential care, our health and strength, our faculties, our homes, our careers, our families, our friends, our possessions, health and peace, Lord, all come from thy hand, and not one of them are we worthy of. Lord, help us today to worship thee in the spirit that Jacob was brought. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the kindnesses thou hast shown. We thank thee more for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, for all the love which flows from Calvary, for the fact that God and man are reconciled in Christ Jesus, that there is a way of salvation. We pray that we may be found in that way, that way which leads to life. Lead us, Lord, to that fountain opened for sin, and apply to our hearts the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from sin and to save from the power of the corruption and the lust and the reigning sin in our hearts. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Grant, Lord, that we may walk worthy of thee, and that those who are favored to know forgiving love and mercy, redeeming grace, may bring forth the evidence by walking worthy of thee in life's journey. Help us, Lord, to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, we can only do that if thy Holy Spirit dwells within. So come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, and dwell in our hearts, and work in each and every one of us that work of divine, holy, living faith, which will end in sight in heaven. Leave us not destitute of the work of the Spirit, we pray. Leave us not to presume, but grant us, Lord, diligence to make our calling and election sure. Grant thy help this day. Open thy word unto us. Show us the treasures that richly dwell in Christ. Grant to us, Lord, those Emmanuel blessings of God with us and near unto us and with us and not against us. Speak unto our souls, we beg. We pray thy richest blessing to rest upon this church and people. We ask thee, Lord, to watch over them and supply their every need. Bless them here in their church life. Bless thy servants whom thou dost send into this pulpit. May there ever be a living ministry here. And may thy people be fed and watered under this vine. May they know thy presence here in the sanctuary of God. And bless each one in their daily lives, in their varied pathways, in their many and various needs. Bless those who walk in paths of sorrow and perplexity and distress. Lord, may they know thee drawing near unto them and carrying them through. And may they be given that faith to rest upon thee. Bless those who are seekers of Christ. Grant, Lord, they may be finders Bless those who have already been favoured to find a precious Jesus. May they know more of thee and be brought into closer union and a closer walk with thee than ever before. Remember those, Lord, who are careless, indifferent, without Christ, without faith, unbelievers. Lord, visit them with thy great salvation. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear. And bless, we pray, the young, the rising race. May there be many mothers and fathers in Israel among them. May there be that generation raised up to continue the worship of thy great and holy name until time shall end. Help us now as we turn to thy word of truth. Speak to us, O Lord. Although we are unworthy sinners, yet, Lord, we come in the only worthy and all-prevailing name of Jesus. And we plead that for his sake, we may now find acceptance and favour with God, and in this hour receive answers of peace. Amen.
Hymn 1030. Lord, what a wretched, wretched heart I feel from day to day, vile and unsound in every part. Subdue it, Lord, I pray. Hymn 1030.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. We read the opening verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. There are 77 fear nots in the Word of God. And this is the first of them. Seventy-seven times the Lord says, Fear not. And he never repeats himself unnecessarily. This is the first of them. I wonder if any of you know the last fear not in the Word of God. It's in the opening chapter of Revelation, when John had a glimpse of Christ reigning in glory, when he fell at the feet of a reigning, supreme, almighty Saviour, God the Son, and he laid his right hand upon him and said, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he who was dead, and am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. This word is spoken to Abraham. And God would not have said it to Abraham if Abraham didn't have fears. In the previous chapter, he had made war on five kings who had come upon Sodom and Gomorrah and had taken his nephew Lot, among others, captivity. And Abraham had gone and had fought and had overcome and had restored Lot. And he'd returned with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah to that land. And Abraham had refused to take, although he was pressed for a reward. By the king of Sodom, he refused. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, in a vision, Fear not, Abraham. Was he fearing those five kings who he defeated? Were they going to come against him and find him out? Was he going to be destroyed? He was a man of like passions as you and I. And he would have known those natural fears for the future, for the unknown way. And no doubt Satan would have berated him for turning down the opportunity of being made rich by the king of Sodom. This time of trial in Abraham's life, the word of the Lord came unto him. Here's real religion, friends. Has the word of the Lord ever come to you? If you have, your life will never be the same again when the word of the Lord comes to you personally. There's no other word, no other voice like the voice of God. A voice of power, a voice of authority, a voice of love and encouragement. And in love here, the Lord comes to Abraham and says, "Fear not, Abraham." And then he tells him why. "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I will be thy shield from thy enemies, and I will be thy exceeding great reward far beyond what the king of Sodom could have given you, Abraham." And this word is not just spoken to Abraham. This is a word that all the Lord's people, without exception, will prove. Fear not. What are you fearing this morning? Are you fearing your sins and the awful ability of them to cast you into hell? Are you fearing Satan, that arch foe, who is so good at tempting you to do wrong and getting the better of you? Are you fearing the future, the unknown way, what tomorrow is going to bring? Are you fearing those who you've literally got to deal with this coming week? And you know you can't get away from it? That enemy who opposes you? That ungodly one who hates you? Are you fearing whether that trouble and that trial and that distress that you are in, that cross that you're called to bear, is finally going to crush you? Are you fearing making shipwreck of faith? Are you fearing the day of death and what follows? Well, to you this morning, here's the word of the Lord. Fear not, Abraham. And here he made it special. One of the rare times he actually called him by name when he used the word fear not. Making it perfectly clear who he was saying fear not to. And as a child of Abraham this morning, tempted child of God, the Lord says to you, fear not by name. Many years later, in another fear not, he would say, thou art mine. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He knows you by name. That means he knows all about you. He knows your case. He knows your need. He knows your fears. He knows your darkness. He knows your distresses. There is none that can understand your pathway like the Lord of life and glory can. And when he calls you by name, it is an assurance that you are not alone. No matter how dark the path or lonely it might seem, others may not understand you. God understands. And he not only understands, he cares. Fear not, Abraham. If God says, fear not, you have nothing to fear, because this is God's almighty word. If anyone else said, fear not, they may be right, they may be wrong. But if God says, fear not, you can be assured of this, there will be a good outcome. And God has only ever said, fear not, to a child of God. To Abraham and to Abraham's spiritual seed. He never says, fear not, to the wicked, because they've got every reason to fear. God is their enemy. And if you're a stranger to God this morning, this is not a word for you. Because you've every reason to fear. Life is uncertain. Death is before you. And after death, the judgment. And if you're a stranger to God in life, you will meet him as a consuming fire after death. And will be condemned to a most fearful existence in eternal fire. You'll have every reason to fear. This word is spoken to the children of God, to his sons and his daughters. This word is spoken to the lambs and the sheep of Christ. No matter how weak and inexperienced and little in knowledge they may be, fear not, Abraham. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid or strengthen thee, help thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That hand that is ever present, that hand that is ever almighty, that hand that is ever able and willing to save all who come unto God by him. God is greater than our fears. You can bring all your fears together, and they can come to a great mountain. And you can feel crushed by them, but God is not crushed by them. He's but to speak. And every one of those fears will be dealt with in one moment. And that you couldn't deal with, that which others could not deal with, God can and will in his time deal with for you. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield. I am the ever-present God. I am the ever-reigning God. I am that name to which he was to reveal himself to Moses. The God of the covenant. The Lord Jehovah. The great, almighty, supreme God. The one and only God. The one who alone reigns in heaven over the affairs of men and nations. Fear not, Abraham. You know, that storm you may be in, or that storm you may be fearing you're about to come into, there's not a ripple can come upon your sea without the Lord's divine command and permission. Not a lion can roar . Not a dog can bark. Not an enemy can open their mouth and withstand you without the Lord's permission. And even if they do withstand you, if they make you tremble, they make you sorrow and grieve, look up. Because God's still in control. He's still reigning. They can't go beyond the bounds he has set. You know that storm on that lake of Galilee? God permitted it to come. Why? No doubt Satan intended for that boat to overturn and every one of those disciples to go to the bottom of that sea. And it might seem this morning that your storm has got to such an intense pitch that you fear your little boat of faith is overturning. But they didn't go to the bottom, did they? That little craft didn't sink. No matter how deep the waters came into that boat, and we're told that they were swamped, they were filled with water, it was not pleasant conditions on board. The wind was boisterous, the waves were powerful, and it did seem all was lost, but where did it bring them to? Truly, thou art the Son of God. That wasn't what Satan intended. It's not what he intends for you. It's not what that enemy who opposes you, who's only Satan's tool, intends. But when you've been brought to that point by living precious faith, truly thou art the Son of God, then there will be a great calm. And just as you cannot bring that great calm about yourself, no matter what you do, once God Almighty says, peace be still, the devil can't bring a ripple. So what is your trial this morning? No matter what it is, no matter how great, no matter how impossible it may seem, God is able, if it is his sovereign will, to do more for you than you can ever ask or think. Abraham proved it here, did he not? His great trial, he had no child. And he was getting on in years. And it came to the point, it seems, where Abraham and Sarah gave up. But God did not give up. He had given his word and he kept his word. And although it seemed impossible at the time, I understand that even now to this very day, that the Jewish nation exceeds all other nations. God fulfilled his promise, although he took his time to do it. Now, what is your trial this morning? Maybe the same trial as Abraham had. It may be something else. You know it. You don't need me to tell you. Take courage from this, that God is all powerful. He's not bound by time and sense. He is able to do anything. So take courage, look up, and ask him to work on your behalf. And then be patient and wait for the answer. And ask him to give you that patience and that submission. And if, as sometimes happens, he says no, ask him to give you that grace to live with that no. Ask him to give you something better. Ask you to give him his presence to be with you. Because if the Lord's presence is with you, that's all you need for time and for eternity. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then is there one of you fearing to take up that profession of faith? The Lord has led you. To his cross. He's taught you the preciousness of his name. He has said to you, fear not. But you fear to venture forth because of how you will do in your profession. Well, this is how you've got to go. In faith, pleading this word, because this is the only way that you will be enabled to go. With Christ as your shield, and with Christ as your exceeding great reward, you will overcome at the last. This is the only way any of the Lord's people walk worthy of him. This is the only way any of them, any one of us, does not make shipwreck of our faith. It's only as Christ is our shield. I am thy shield. Look how personal it is. Thy shield. Now, a shield is a vital piece of armor, a vital piece of equipment. No soldier would ever go into battle, into armed conflict, man for man, without a shield. To do so would have been certain death. You know what a shield is? It is a protection. It is made of a metal which is sufficiently strong enough to withstand the attacks of the sword of the opposition. And it comes as a defense between you and what causes harm. And in the days when Abraham lived, fighting was always man-to-man armed conflict with shield and sword. The shield was vital. And those blows of those swords, instead of falling as was intended upon that soldier, they fell instead upon his shield. The shield took the brunt of it. The shield took the stab of it. And that one hiding behind that shield was safe. That shield was literally the difference between life and death. Had he just got out with a sword, even though he may have been a good swordsman, it's very unlikely he would have come back alive. He needed sword and shield. And so if he was going out to battle, he wouldn't be content to know that there were shields. He needed one himself. And he needed one which was suitable. One that was the right height, the right rate, the right strength. Of course, they made them dependent on the height of the swordsman. What was suitable for one was not suitable for another. And it was vital that they had one that was suitable for their specific needs. Well, here we have a shield which is suitable for each and every believer. I am thy shield, says God Almighty. And that means you're never going to be alone in the fight of faith. And the way to heaven is not easy. It is not intended to be easy. It is going to be a battle. There is going to be hard warfare. It is going to take your strength. There is going to be discouragement. It is going to be testing. But with Christ as your shield, the victory is not in doubt. The outcome is already decided. Because all who have Christ as their shield, they have an almighty defense which Satan cannot get through. I am thy shield. Thank you. And I understand that this word shield, it doesn't just mean a little shield. It means a shield that encased the soldier as he went out to battle. It was the length of the soldier. And it was formed in such a way that when he wielded it, his entire body came behind that shield. That shield covered it. So, child of God, surrounded by the loving care of your God, surrounded by the almighty care of your God, surrounded by the almighty power of your God, you can go forth with confidence against Satan. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. Him takes it up, but when danger closer threatens, and thy soul draws near to death, when assaulted sore by Satan, then object the shield of faith. Fiery darts of fierce temptation, intercepted by thy God, there shall lose their force. In patience, sheathed in love, and quenched in blood. I am thy shield. Believer, Christ himself is your shield. When you stood condemned to death because of your sin that you had committed, the almighty justice of God was your enemy. Because sin must be dealt with without exception. Sin must be punished without exception. God has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he won't retract that. But when Jesus came to Calvary's cross, he stood between you, believer, and that just fiery indignation of the wrath of God. And all those sword thrusts which you so richly deserved and merited, without exception, fell upon Christ himself. And what he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. And coming sinner this morning, here is your only hope. Here is the way that you can find peace with God and here alone. Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which he has shed for sinners. Wretched sinners, undone sinners, great sinners, the greatest of sinners. Then ask him to be your shield and to show you that he is your shield. Do not presume upon it. Scriptures is clear, he died for many, a great multitude, a vast multitude, but not any, not everyone. And so we're not to presume. But you can come to God as a poor, wretched sinner this morning, feeling your need and feeling that condemning law of God justly. It seems your enemy. Ask Christ himself to be your shield and to stand between an offended God and you. You'll prove he will not turn you away. He will not reject thy plea. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. He was the shield of his people at Calvary's cross. When he stood in the sinner's place. Then he is the shield of his people. He's your shield in this sense. He is your righteousness. You are painfully aware, are you not, that you have no righteousness of your own? Of how often you fail. How often your good intentions fall. How often your sincerity is not enough. And the devil tells you, you are a great sinner who doesn't know the secret. Christ is the righteousness of his people. He did not fail. In the life he lived here among men, he obeyed his heavenly Father completely, absolutely, and totally. And he lived that life for sinners. And those who have Christ as a shield, that life was lived for them. And then therefore when God the Father looks upon them, he sees that life. And it's as if they lived it. He doesn't see their worthless fig leaf righteousness, he sees the righteousness of his Son. Now we were told in Ephesians about the shield of faith. What is faith? It is trust. It is confidence. It is dependence. It is a reliance upon God. And if you've got faith, the fruit of faith will be that you will come to God in prayer. Prayer is the fruit of faith. Prayerlessness is the fruit of unbelief. If you never call upon God in prayer, begging for mercy and forgiveness, how can you claim to have faith? One of the evidence of faith is that you will pray. And the reason you will pray is because God in his Holy Spirit is working in your heart, giving you that reliance upon Christ, giving you that trust and that confidence to know that he is able to save. You would not come to him if you didn't believe he was able to save. So pray on. Wrestle on. Plead on, plead the merits of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the righteousness of Jesus. Ask God to show you that he lived and died on your behalf. And keep on wrestling until he gives you an answer. And he will give you an answer. Plead the name of Jesus. We cannot come to God in our own name. You cannot come to God because you merit or deserve his favor. But you can come to God in the name of Jesus. Because that name is a worthy name. There is no sin attached to that name. It is an all-prevailing name. That name is power with God the Father. And God welcomes and rejoices to welcome and delights to welcome coming sinners who come pleading that name. The words of a hymn. It's not in our book. It comes in quite sweetly here. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. That's how you must fight Satan on your knees. When he tempts you, pray to God and ask him to give you that faith to overcome. Ask him to give you that word. Remember, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That's the sword you will overcome, no other sword. Not the sword of your good intentions. Not the sword of your experience. Not the sword of a denominational name. Not the sword of your natural knowledge. No, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And that is one of the reasons why we are encouraged to read the word of God diligently and regularly. How can you wield the sword of the Spirit if you do not know what the word says? If you are ignorant of the word, it's like you are going into battle without a sword, and no wonder you are so often falling. How often do we read the word of God then and think of it as that sword? It's vital. Both the sword and the shield are vital in the fight. But you have to have the right sword and you have to have the right shield for the right outcome. The sword of faith, the shield of faith, that confidence, that trust, that dependence, that reliance upon Jesus Christ. And that sword, the word of God, it is written. Ask God day by day to keep his word before you. And when you are tempted to do wrong, ask him to give you that it is written and that it might keep you from doing wrong. And enable you to fight the fight of faith and to overcome. And those weapons are invincible. The devil can't stand before them. You know, Martin Luther, once he had a dream. And Satan came before him. And he wrote down every single sin of his life up until that point. And it was a great catalogue. And at the end, Martin Luther said to the devil, write one sentence. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And Satan fled. Satan cannot stand before the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's more powerful than Satan. Ask him to show you that that precious blood was shed for you. Ask him to deliver you from the condemnation of sin, from the guilt of sin, and also from the power of sin, that hold it has over you, that love of sinning. God saves from both. There were many who want to be saved from hell, but they don't want to be saved from the way to hell. But God will not be like that. He's not only a saviour, he's a king. And if he is your saviour, he will also be your king to rule over you and to reign over you. And if he rules and reigns over you, it will be a just and holy reign. And if you are obedient subject to him, the way you will desire to go to is in a holy way. It will be completely different from when Satan was your king, because Satan loves unholiness. And therefore, as Satan is your king, you follow him in the unholy ways. Now, one of the proofs of being called by grace is that as Jesus is your king, and as you desire to walk worthy of him, so you will turn your back on the way of sin and seek to walk and follow in that way of righteousness. That's why it's a battle, because there's two natures within. One that loves the way of righteousness and goes after God. The other that hates righteousness and goes after Satan. And it'll be a battle until the moment of death. The child of God, thou shalt overcome at the last. But until that day comes, that last day, a day when the battle will be ended, he calls you, child of God, to fight the good fight of faith. But he gives you a fear not in order to fight with, in order to plead with, in order to go forth with, and in order to conquer with. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £745, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And there'll be no Sunday school today. Let us close with hymn 308, the second part, singing down to verse 7. If this be, Lord, thy way, then who can hope to gain that prize such numbers never seek? Such numbers seek in vain. Hymn 308, the second part, singing down to verse 7.
Lord Almighty God, could it please thee in thy mercy to give to us each that shield of faith, to rest, to trust, to plead in the mighty name of Jesus, and prove him to be an almighty defense. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Be with us during the hours of this thy day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us and reign within us now and forever. Amen.